Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about the ins and outs of having strokes. This is a small podcast while driving. I'm just going up to the shops, getting some milk, fueling the car, so it'll only be a few minutes. strokes happen to a hell of a lot of people, including me, and I've sort of been the beneficiary of having over 100 of the little guys, really tiny ones, and I sort of like going to a film which never ends. You're in the seat and you have to actually get it all solved up. Now, everyone sort of focuses on the, I suppose there's two unexpected aspects. There's a good news story that, especially if you've got little ones, they suddenly impact disappears. So suddenly hearing improves, vision improves, memory improves, but you know, it's only so much, and you have to really, really fight it out. So that's the good news, that they do improve. Your brain is plastic, but then your brain's pretty stuffed. You know, at the end of the day, you have to think, you know, I think the Australian word is "I suck." You suck, and you basically have to sort of, with students, get in that fine line of supporting them, making them feel good, but saying, perhaps I could work a little bit more. So this is true with me as well. You suck. Things don't work. So there's that aspect, and I'll go into some of the training. This is a beautiful morning here. I'm getting lights on these multi-million dollar intersection there. We had a little turn off up here, which was required courtesy. There were road rules technically could work on it, but basically it was so complex that it basically required courtesy, and they said, stuff it. You know, we're just not going to bother. We're just going to spend millions of dollars. No, just going to. That's an aside. So it's the stroke. I'll try and give a bit of a story. The other aspect is abandonment. Now, this is, you know, some people don't, but you sort of move. So there's people who are sort of more tolerant, and there's people who are intolerant, or systems which are intolerant, and you just got to face up the fact that you're abandoned. Now, for me, it was a little bit easier because I was in sort of helping lots of different people all the time in society, and you know, you'd be there to support them, and some of their support systems would have abandoned them, and you can go panic and go with them and say and spend energy that they've just walked away. It may be wives, or it may be support systems, it may be whatever, they just, or government, they just walk away. And the fact is, like, you can be upset for a couple of hours, a week. After a week or so, you really got to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and get going, and realizing, oh, well, look, in fact, I've always wondered whether Australia was a first-rate country, but no, it's not. There's certain aspects which are, you know, behind the glossy brochures and the tourist stuff, it is a second-rate thing. So you can sort of get used to realising that, you know, technically if everything was run right, it would be great. People would help you back, but they're really not interested in doing it. So you're there struggling away. Now, I just want to sort of go into what basic it is. And so this is the most basic skill, is looking at, say, a 7-digit number or 8-digit number and transcribing it across. And initially, that's just really hard. And over the weeks, months, it gets easier, and eventually you can actually transcribe it. And you think, oh, I'm through. So that's what I did last night. I had to transfer some money, and I for an invoice for 3D printing. There you go. I'm giving a little company in Victoria a go before I give another company a go at 3D printing, because you need that. But I had to see the number and transfer it across. And you know, hang on, alert, this is something that you're not going to do well, let's go across. And you do go across, and the thing is that you memorize it and then you write it down and then you go to check it and you say, that's not what I remember. So the memory's just up enough to do it, and then you check it and hang on, it is right. You know, different aspects of it is right. And so what do you... Oh, it's just so... It's not so frustrating. It's just, you know, oh, good God. And of course, this is sort of a major, major problem. So that if you're transcribing marks or doing things like that, that would be a showstopper. Let's go across here, parking in. I promise you this would be short. So I'll just go. So that's a point. This is your memory, and they do big long memory tests. And one of the things is the things you learn from memory tests is that you think you've got good memory, or you think you've done well on all the memory tests, and there'll be one section that they'll pick up, and it's not well. And it's, you know, the story is not that it's bad, it's just that you have no idea that it's bad. Okay, getting going, talking about the next stuff. Okay, back again. Yeah, it's the memory, and it's, I suppose, interesting. So, walking around, I said, oh, look, I can remember a lot of that number, and it's just really evident that crapola shit. So there's this early in the morning, and there's this bread delivery van, and I'm gonna have to back up here. Yeah, so and get through this. This is a sort of little supermarket, and it's sort of not designed properly, and so the big trucks have to deliver, or the little trucks have to come and deliver everything in the morning. So if you come in the morning, it's sometimes hard to get here. There's sort of trucks backed up everywhere. Okay, look, I suppose happens is that you use other types of memory which just aren't as good and support. So, and you sort of think, look, I'm making glacial stuff. Now, one of the interesting things is if you're speaking with the old codger soldiers, you're looking after them, a fair number of them have had strokes, and they can just sort of go through, and they say, forgive the English here, your brain's fucked. And that's as basically as small as it is. And you sort of go and you look at any one day, the progress you make in any one day is just so infinitesimally, you know, that's some sort of language for small, infinitesimally small, so incredibly small. But sort of the overall framework that you work with, you see things going. So in me, I've gradually built up this electronics. So I've came up really slow, not being able to do electronics that I could do years ago. Now this isn't going to last this long, but by sort of sticking at it, now the sort of like the activity is structured, and so if you know a lot of the electronics is sitting there, so if I don't remember something, it's not really evident, and it, you know, or it's if I've forgotten something, the circuit won't work, it will feedback. Whereas I think in conversation or human contact, if you forget something, it's unlike the circuit just sits there not working. If someone else, you forget something, in conversation, you forget something, the person goes, what? Offended? They're always on. It's the real deal. So to see that going across, now it's again in military stuff, it's the crisis plus the abandonment coming across. Now, when you really scrape into the detail, there's a lot of military stories that you read, and you sort of know that this goes through the mind of commander. So I'll just talk about that in a little while. I'm here loading up in fuel. back for the next little installment. You can hear the car starting up. Only a few minutes, possibly less than 2 minutes left, so I better wrap this up. So let's talk about it. You've got shit happening and abandonment. Now, it's and the psychology just to pull yourself together, dust yourself off. So, blood oath. That's the Australian word, blood oath. There's abandonment. But look, I suppose I should tell a little military story of, you know, what looks like abandonment, but then it opens up many years later, and you know, it's no point having ill will. So there was 66, I think, the Battle of Long Tan in Vietnam. This D Company, which is, I don't know, a company, is, well, I've forgotten how many people, but not many, a few hundred people, were in a rubber plantation. They encountered the North Vietnamese regular battalions. Now, from studying it, I don't think these battalions were all that good, quite honestly, because they were just basically cannon fodder. So it was dreadful rain, and the Australian infantry company was out by itself and pinned down. I haven't got long to go here whatsoever. And so all shit happened, and they called in for the Air Force, the Iroquois helicopters. And of course, you look, and the American Iroquois are fantastic. Now, this is giving you a bit of a story. They didn't come. They sort of came at night and dropped ammunition, but sort of stayed low in a way. And what sort of saved the day was Kiwi artillery. The Kiwi artillery just basically blew the stuffings away, and they were able to withdraw, and then an Australian armour unit came up, and you know, that was it. That was the story. And so Australia lost 23 people there, and in the entire Vietnam War we lost 50. Yeah, like that. Look, there were 500 dead all out, but they were in car accidents, people, you know, big heavy machinery and stuff like that. So 55, it was about just under half people were knocked out here. And sort of for a long time there was this huge resentment within. So the official story, no one knows about that particular aspect of and there was a certain amount of outsmarting involved and all that type of stuff in terms of the armoured cars, so the APCs coming up. So nowadays, you know, you wouldn't stand a chance for a number of reasons. Okay, so that happened, and you know, this is fair time ago, like 50 years ago, blood oath. And so the Kiwi artillery, so that fused the Anzac, you know, the Kiwis saving the day and saving the day. But that commander thought, oh, I've been abandoned. And indeed, they were abandoned by the Air Force. And you have to go forward and you sort of paper over the abandonment feeling. But it turned out that the Australian, there were thousands of varieties of helicopters, and the Australians got really paper thin helicopters that you could actually just shoot with a revolver and take down. And it was only many years afterwards that you actually heard that. So the story is that going forward, having sort of being a little bit of a veteran of shit happening, and also this sort of being able to hold yourself together when you're not going to pieces, when your support people aren't there. And it's not that, you are obviously up against a lot of internal sort of corruptions and nepotism and stuff like that, which at the end of the day result in you getting screwed. But they're not there because they want to screw you. They're there because they want basically a free ride. You know, that's the ACE thing. So don't take it personally. They're corrupt because it's a nice thing, it's a comfortable thing to do. They're not corrupt because they particularly hate you or anything like that. And also, people aren't abandoning you because they want to. They just basically have got these paper-thin Iroquois or Huey helicopters. Are they Huey? Well, they're called Huey helicopters coming out. And it's... I'll just finish up. So that's the overall story in terms of that. You're in a long campaign. You're in a long Vietnam War, which is just not going to end. And you've got people... you've got hostile enemy there. You've got to keep low. But you've got to keep your head in and adjust your military... It's not, look, obviously, you can listen to me over the time, it's not a warlike thing, it's sort of odd, it's just imbued. And you can see that you develop over the time, your supply lines up, and over the time, over a year, you've seen me crush through, bash through, getting this podcast, you know, this mini podcasting coming up. What is this? Well, it's not, you know, mainstream American style, you know, sort of main battle podcasting. This is a sort of guerrilla podcasting, you know, getting in your little French resistance wireless and going, beep, 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 help, 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 there's Germans all around the place. There, and then again, the things that you put together, it's sort of like being in a prison of war camp in the sort of Great Escape where the scrounger is getting you're putting these things together, which like it looks like a soup can. It's actually an air breathing apparatus to build a tunnel to sort of tunnel out of here. And you can see basically the circuits put together are sort of like Great Escape things. There's Tom, Dick, and Harry if they shut down one, and it's really sort of almost out of the Great Escape, put the goons to sleep. Now, of course, I don't know. I think a lot of Americans, a lot of Germans, or whatever, Ukraine people will not know any of this type of stuff. They won't know the good old Great Escape movies. They won't know the ins and outs of the Australian involvement in the Vietnam War 50 years ago. And it was sort of like this strange... Like, America had this involvement, which was, you know... get in there with Marines and Prides and hold, I think, Khe Sanh, hold the hills of Khe Sanh and stuff like that, and not be beaten, but you know, sort of potted away. And they've got this view. Australia has a sort of a different, more nuanced view, sort of seeing in the region, obviously taking in the boat people and forming a relationship there and across a sort of strange relationship there, and also sort of being there not as strong as the other people. So podcasting, I'm not as strong as those professional podcasters, and in education I'm sort of in the foothills going across it, and you know, I've been ambushed a couple of times, wounded a couple of times, and you know, it's still going ahead. It's just the mind of the commander, the stuffed mind of the commander, in that you've got to sort of balance sort of a realistic view of your capacity, a realistic view of abandonment, but not sort of go too deep into the psychology of it. Yeah, they can't do it. They can't do it because of these factors. But for them, it's not a thing of, I'll neglect you. You're just like another product on the shelf. They go over and they, I'll buy. You're sort of like the old Electrolux, and people are buying Dysons. Now, you may have the... So Electrolux is the... I think it was a Swedish brand. And just to put in the picture, the Australia, when the Japanese were coming down in World War II, we built a sort of a fragmentary theoretical armaments industry. And to do it, we put all the little factories in different remote country cities. So what would happen is Japan would knock something out, and we sort of learnt from bombing the industrial lands. We sort of diffused it. And so what happened is that at the end of the war, we had these, you know, a transformer winding factory in, I think, Orange, which is sort of a city way out over. You've got the Blue Mountains, and then there's just, I think there's one mountain, and then there's one hill, and then there's nothing higher than that for the rest of Australia. It's all flat and orange, and there's and it breaks out into deserts pretty quickly. So you've got Orange, and there's a little factory, and so what do you do there? Well, we'll factory wind. You think it can make fridges, and so for many years it built fridges. So I've sort of. In terms of what I want to say is that there's a lot of very boutique miniature factories which are just not going to last on long term. So on the long term, I don't think me building circuits is going to last, but it's sort of like the best thing to do. Okay, so that's a story, and I just really have to keep on podcasting. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.